Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So based on your packing, how many weeks are you going away for?
It seems, let's see, we're going to be gone from tomorrow through like Saturday, so it'll seem like a week, I would say.
3 days? And you packed a month's worth of stuff?
Yeah, we tend to overpack, I guess.
Nobody noticed. I mean, he goes away for 3 days. He's got one of those cargo racks. He's got a trailer. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm getting concerned. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Adam Rittenberg in a moment. First, our play-by-play call of the day.
Didn't allow him to make that attack off the bounce.
Big fella rolling in, but it's Hunter with another stop. But defensively, he has been the man. Look at that move!
Oh, oh, come on, America! America, get the Notre Dame! Chet Holmgren, are you serious? Wow! He's number one by the NBA people right out there. Potential. As the second and third coach that gets him, that makes out. The first guy's a potential he can fire.
So wonderful to hear Dick Vitale back after everything he has battled. He was working with Dave O'Brien on the Gonzaga-UCLA game last night, which, by the way, was all Gonzaga. Wow. With that, we bring in the outstanding Adam Rittenberg from our good friends at ESPN. Adam, first of all, to you and your family, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Same to you and yours.
All right, so your thought process when you heard about James Franklin agreeing to a 10-year deal?
Yeah, I mean, it was something that I heard was coming for several weeks. And, you know, even though his name had continued to be mentioned for other jobs and was on candidate lists, it was increasingly likely that he was going to re-sign with Penn State. You know, that was the desire from the Penn State side, clearly, but also I think James at this point in his career, you know, with Penn State's recruiting class coming in and how close they had been in really all their losses this year, he feels that they're not far from that true breakthrough. And the idea of even going to a USC, for instance, and, you know, largely starting over with a roster, maybe taking 2 or 3 years to get it where he wants to go, I don't think that appealed to him as much as, you know, continuing to build on where he feels they are, which is not far away from competing for Big Ten championships and their first college football playoff spot.
James, at least through 8 years, has a track record here from 16 to 19. I mean, you know, there were New Year's Six games 3 different times. So if he had a 12-team playoff, that had made it all 4 years. Mel Tucker doesn't have that kind of track record. What's your thought on what's going on at Michigan State?
Well, I think, again, you know, people want to make it about Mel Tucker and what he hasn't done. But I think a lot of what, you know, this contract, if it comes to fruition, and it hasn't yet, but it should at some point in the near future, a lot of what it's about, Steve, is Michigan State essentially flexing and saying, hey, we're here, we have big boosters, we want to be a big-time player in college football, and if that means overpaying our coach to prevent him from maybe leaving for LSU, we're going to do that. I mean, let's not forget the history. Michigan State had the greatest coach of our time as its coach, Nick Saban, and they lost him to LSU. And while the program has rebounded in recent years, it took some time to even be, you know, kind of a relevant program in the Big Ten. So I think that was part of this, but just you had some people around that program that have this money, and they did not want to be picked by another school that wanted their coach. They want to continue to see where this goes with Mel Tucker. I doubt this will be the last time we hear his name mentioned for other openings, but they want to show that, hey, we are a serious player in college football, and we're willing to commit to our coach and our program to try to keep up with the Ohio States and the Michigans and the Penn States of the world, as well as some of the other teams nationally.
Which is interesting because let's give the key name. One of the key names is Matt Ishbia. And we're talking about a guy you and I know because he'd been a walk-on on the Michigan State basketball team when they won the title in 2000. The bottom line is you not only need big boosters, you need whales. I mean, not just big fish, you need whales. And Michigan State's trying to flex it with big whales like Ishbia, Dan Gilbert, people like that.
For sure. I mean, and you can make comparisons around the country. I mean, not, you know, Oregon is not a nationally relevant program without Phil Knight. And obviously that's a different situation because it's such a bigger company. But you need these types of people if you want to, you know, kind of emerge from being very good to being maybe nationally elite. And again, I don't know if Mel can get them there. I think he did a heck of a job this year with the roster and turning that around through the transfer portal. I think he's got an incredible resume as an assistant coach. If you really look at it, he was a defensive coordinator with three NFL teams and also has worked at all the big-time college programs pretty much, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Ohio State. So, you know, that's a resume that a lot of people would want to hire at LSU or even for the NFL. And I think the NFL will actually be interested in Mel either this year or in the near future. So that's something to watch. But from the Ishbia standpoint and from Michigan State standpoint, you know, this is how you elevate your profile as a program. You need the money behind it because there's so much money, as you know, elsewhere. You can't keep up if you don't have these types of people that are stepping up financially.
No question. How do you view the patience factor in athletic departments right now? And I'll use this as an example. Florida, as an example, when they go to spring practice, we'll have their fourth head coach in 8 years. So how are you looking at especially after the pandemic where everybody lost money, are you surprised at all by the patience factor?
Yeah, you know, a little bit. I think there's just a... there's an unwillingness, Steve, when things go really bad to ride it out. Where I think that you know, in the past there was more of a willingness to do that, and there is at some of the lower profile programs. But I would look at both Florida and Washington as places that went south in a hurry. And in Florida's case, you're talking about an accomplished head coach who was in the SEC title game last year and had a couple of top seven finishes in the first 2 years before that. I mean, Dan Mullen's tenure at Florida was successful, but it went south in such a rapid fashion that they couldn't ride it out. They couldn't give him a chance to fix it. And now they're obviously spending a lot of money to get rid of him, and they will spend a lot of money to hire his replacement and that coach's staff. So this is just the era we're in. I did think there would be more of an impact from the pandemic, but again, you're not talking about the school's budget. These athletic departments, especially in football, are run by the donors. And when you have donors who are willing to step up, that's how you get Gus Malzahn fired and Tom Herman fired and Dan Mullen fired and Jimmy Lake fired. I mean, that's how you get these guys to be ousted so quickly.
Excellent point. I agree with you completely about that because I've been somewhat surprised by it as well. Because, you know, let's face it, everybody lost a lot of money in outs to go on top of it. Michigan, Ohio State, what kind of opinions have you formed midweek on them?
You know, I'm going to the game. I'm excited to cover it. I've covered a lot of these duds over the years, as you know. And I'm trying to figure out the game plan for Michigan because it seems like Ohio State, really since the Nebraska game, has turned it on. And if Ohio State plays like it did the last 2 weeks, it won't be close. I think for Michigan, you know, their calling card has been a couple of things. Ball control offense. The run game, not turning it over, you know, creating some plays with their defense, Aiden Hutchinson and Josh Rosh and some of those other playmakers on that side of the ball. So they're going to have to make this a low possession game. They're going to have to win the turnover margin probably by two or more. And they're going to have to keep Ohio State off the field and make them work for points. I mean, you didn't see that from Michigan State, certainly, and you didn't see that from Purdue. But I think there are some things that Michigan can take from Penn State and from Nebraska defensively that they can apply to this game and try to get C.J. Stroud a little bit rattled. I think Michigan, you know, may not be as talented as Penn State is across the board defensively, but they're in that range. And if they can kind of take that same game plan, they obviously run the ball, Penn State doesn't, Can they control the clock a little bit and get it into the fourth quarter? Then you're playing at home, young Ohio State team. You get in their heads a little bit, and I do think the intangibles, Michigan's togetherness, their leadership, some of culture is just better with this group than it has been for any other Harbaugh team, possibly with the exception of the 2016 team.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I concede exactly what you're talking about with them. Let me weigh in with you, get you to weigh in on the possibility of a 12-team playoff. Are you for it, or are you against it, or neutral on it?
I'm warming up to it. I don't think 12 is necessarily needed, and what worries me about it is the likelihood that two conferences will dominate the 12. And so, yeah, you're giving the group of five a spot, which is great. You're having the Pac-12 in there, which I think is important because it's a whole region of the country that now isn't going to be represented for the fifth straight year. You're nationalizing it, but if the SEC has four and the Big Ten has four, I mean, it's really going to be those two leagues that get all the attention. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame will make it on a regular basis. I just think you can accomplish a lot of the things with eight that you can with 12 and not have one or two leagues just dominate the selections. But I understand the perspective of Greg Sankey as an SEC commissioner. I understand Jack Swarbrick, the Notre Dame athletic director. This would virtually assure Notre Dame to get in unless they have a subpar season. Or they're going to make it most years. So I understand their view. I just worry that it's going to be two SEC, maybe Big Ten dominant.
Interesting. The other part too is if you're at eight, at least initially, you don't get any more money out of it because ESPN does have the rights to all the New Year's Six bowl games. If you go to 12, I think the door is open to get more money, and I think right now everybody needs more money.
They do, and we were just talking about all these coaching contracts. So,
yeah.
So clearly they need some money. And I mean, listen, I love the idea of home playoff games. Bowl games are nice, and they're certainly part of the college football history. But I've learned to love college football. Seeing games on campus. I'm sure you feel the same way. I mean, you broadcast
Absolutely.
In one of the greatest settings in all of college football on a regular basis. Imagine a playoff game at Beaver Stadium. Imagine a playoff game at Michigan or at Notre Dame or at Washington or at Texas. I mean, you could just pick a place. It would be incredible. And so I would love to see that part of it come to fruition. I certainly don't want to see a 12-team playoff with no home campus sites.
Absolutely agree with you. You're absolutely right about that. Adam, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and safe trip, safe travels, and enjoy the game on Saturday.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN. We'll come back more in a moment. King final half hour. We'll make our picks heading into Thanksgiving. For some reason, that Titanic Bears-Lions game did not make the cut. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. The suit. I even had a tagline for it. The suit. The Valley's broadcast tour de force.
I don't know. That's a good question. And there's only one left now.
I mean, how do you like the headline? The suit. The Valley's broadcast tour de force.
S-U-I-T. That spells suit.
It denied Doug, myself, and you to make comments. And I'm not getting into which comments we'd make.
No good! No good! No good!
Exactly. Exactly. So here we are on Thanksgiving Eve. Now, you've got Lions and Bears tomorrow. Raiders and Cowboys. Saints and Bills. You want to know which game I'm really looking forward to watching tomorrow night?
Zipola.
Egg Bowl. Mississippi State.
That's actually not bad.
I think it's a good game to watch. Of the games tomorrow, that's the only one I really have an interest in watching. I'll watch parts of other games, but in terms of like my interest, that's what I'm going to watch. I mean, I'm going to go to practice tomorrow morning. Practice tomorrow morning's at 10. I'll go to that. It's only going to last an hour. Be back home by 11. I'm going to put my feet up. I'm not going to do anything the rest of the day.
Is anybody coming over? Are you going to visit?
Tonight, my son and his wife, Chris and Angela, are coming in from Virginia tonight, but they're leaving tomorrow to go to her family in St. Mary's. My son, Mike, his wife, Mary Beth, and my grandchildren, Ryan and Madeline, are coming down for dinner tomorrow.
All right, there you go.
Then they're leaving Friday morning. Of course, I'm getting out of here Friday morning, too. So.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the irony is my next two road trips, East Lansing.
Correct, and East Lansing.
And East Lansing,
yep.
2 weeks apart. 2 weeks apart. Yep, time to go to the garden spot. All right, it's off. Oh, my goodness. All right. So that's what's... But that's the game I'm in watching. Mississippi State. Egg Bowl tomorrow night, 7:30 ESPN. Now, Friday, you got a couple of games. You got Iowa, Nebraska. I'm trying to think, what's the other game Friday that has some interest to it? But Iowa, Nebraska, they always play the Friday after Thanksgiving. Adrian Martinez is not playing in the game. Friday. Game at Bucknell. On the Friday after Thanksgiving, and driving home after the game, listening to the Iowa-Nebraska game. That was a few years ago. I want to see, what year was that? Was that 15? They did that. I remember I saw Dick and Milton before the game, and I was kidding around with Doug because they came out to shoot. And... Anderson, one of our Dwayne Anderson, one of the assistant coaches for Penn State, who played on Villanova's Final Four team. I said to Doug, I said, that's Penn State's best player. He goes, really? Who is that? I said, Dwayne Anderson, really? I said, yeah, assistant coach, Villanova Final Four. But Penn State also had DJ Newbill at the time, so yeah. And Penn State was able to win the game. But yeah, I saw Dick before the game. I saw Doug for the game. It was really a lot of fun being there. I like Soika. Really a terrific place. Really a terrific place. Perfect size. Can imagine when that place is filled, it's just rocking.
It was terrific when we had the home opener for the men a couple last Sunday. It was awesome. Soika's my happy place.
Well, I mean, you have not been... Well, obviously, based on their previous conversation, it's not the car driving the kids. But that is your happy place. But,
that's correct.
It's great having the fans back. There's just such a sense of normalcy about it. The fans have been loud, great. And I'm sure that Soika will be rocking all season long. And it means a lot when the student body's there. But this is where Penn State's caught a break this week. Student body is not here. And after everything that went on last week with flu, running through the team, you think like you finally got it kicked, boom, then the second wave comes in, hits a different part of the team. Right? It was running through the student body here at a phenomenal rate. And that includes the men's soccer team. Men's soccer, you saw they lost to Hofstra. In the second round, the NCAA's at home, 8-2. It's because they didn't have anybody could move. You know how many players they had available for practice before the game? 9. They had 12 guys out, you know, and some of them tried to gut it out and play. Just how bad it was on campus. Well, now they're getting through these waves of flu really good. And they don't have the rest of the student body here this week to keep, which prevents, I think, another wave from happening. So, yeah. James Franklin's 100th game, by the way, Saturday at Penn State. I will depress him by telling him it's the 100th time he and I have done the pregame show together. So, and then we'll go about our business. But practicing a little earlier today, and then they're going to practice at 10 tomorrow. Then they have a team meal tomorrow over at Pollock, a training table, right after practice. Then everybody can scatter for a little bit. But then when it comes to the early evening, James wants a full accounting from everybody where they're going to be, whether they're going to his house, an assistant's house, going home if they're close enough, whatever it may be. And the reason he's doing that is he just wants to make sure nobody is spending Thanksgiving alone. You know, the vast majority of these guys are from out of town, out of state. So he just doesn't want him spending time alone, that's all, on Thanksgiving. Then they'll practice Friday morning at 10. Go back, get a quick bite to eat, boom, get to the airport, get up in the air, get to Lansing, and into the hotel by about 3:30, and then go through a series of meetings and meals and things like that and get ready for Saturday at 3:34. We're on to beginning at 2 o'clock here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KIA Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So you packed for a month ago for 3 days?
It just seems like it.
You've only been gone 2 nights. You've only been gone 2 nights.
No, we're gone 2 nights. We're gone Thursday night and Friday night. Come back Saturday.
That's what I said. 2 nights.
Yeah.
You're gone 2 nights. All right, now, I realize that to bring extra stuff because you drool a bit. But, I mean, you know, I got it. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory, all the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Your trade-in is worth more than ever. Sales staff that's going to work with you to get you the best deal, save you money, and a fabulous service department to back all of it up. It is at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. So thankful to Sunbury Motors. This is our 10th Thanksgiving of doing this show. They've been with us since second one. The Sunbury Motors studio has been a phenomenal experience for us. Phenomenal. All right, let's see. Ladies and gentlemen, no one's more thankful to have a brother like I do, because I have as my brother the king.
Hey, brother, what up?
Not much.
No, me neither. At 6:30 tonight, I'm be at a football game.
All right.
Rockville High School.
Oh, really? Playoff?
Step granddaughter is a cheerleader, so we're going to go watch her cheerlead, so...
Sweet.
That's great. Who's Rockville playing?
Who's the most famous alumni at Rockville High School?
Bill.
You got it.
Yeah, played for the Foyer. Romanowski.
Yep, Bill Romanowski, Rockville High School. I saw him play one game. You knew he was special. So.
Yeah.
My ex-brother-in-law played football for Fermi, and they played Rockville, and I was like, wow, who's that guy? He's good, you know. So, Romo, he's a Rockville High graduate. So.
Yeah.
That's it. There's nobody else.
Who's Rockville playing?
I believe Tolland. Oh,
okay. All right.
Yeah. It's a playoff. They're both 7-2. So,
oh, good.
This should be a good one then.
Good game.
Oh, yeah. No, it's really great. They have teams over 500 in the playoff. That's great.
We're not on the level here that there is out in the Midwest. Oh, there's my little mouse. My little mouse friend's running around. His name's Mike. So.
Mike the Mouse.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the level here, Southern Columbia is a really special program, and. Yeah, there's a bunch of really special programs in this state, that's for sure.
You know, Connecticut gets some pretty good players to come out. I mean, Bloomfield brought out, what's his name? Oh, God, I am so bad. He went to Syracuse, Freeman.
Yeah. Here at Penn State, Marquise Wilson's from Windsor.
Yeah, oh, really? What year?
Yeah. Wilson is right now is a true sophomore. No, I'm sorry. He's a true junior. He's a true junior.
Yeah, I saw him play. My stepdaughter's teacher at Windsor High School.
Yeah. Yeah, Marquise, a true junior.
Yeah.
Penn State's been able to get some kids out of Connecticut. I mean, Will Levis, who's now the starting quarterback at Kentucky, another Connecticut guy.
Really? Why can't they stay and play at UConn? The word has it at UConn, the people in town and everyone is like, if you don't build a stadium on campus, don't even bother because you can't recruit.
Remember I said that years ago to you?
Oh, I said it years ago, too. I mean, it's just common sense. They have the room to put it.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous area, and they have the room to put a stadium, but the townspeople don't really want it, obviously, but it's very much set up. It's even more desolate than Penn State, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean,
right, I know what you mean.
One road in and one road out. I mean, there's literally, you know, one road in and one road out. I live there. I don't care what head coach they bring in there. If it's not, it cracks me up. What's Mora ever won? You know, his dad.
I know somebody who coached with Jim. So I don't know him at all. I've never met him. I know a good friend of mine did coach with him on the staff. They said an awesome guy,
yep,
but on game day can be a bit crazed.
He's been good at the college so far, you know, going to all the basketball games and passing out jerseys and signing things for people. But, man, you got to have the players. It doesn't matter who the coach is if you don't have the players. As long as they give the guy a chance and give him 4 years, I guess he signed a 5-year contract, but You got to give a college coach a chance to recruit.
Well, they don't do that anymore. Texas changes over coaches.
Yeah.
When Florida goes to spring practice, they're going to be on their fourth coach in 8 years.
You can't do that. You know, I mean, UConn brought Paul Pasquale in there and gave him a year and a half. I mean, he didn't even what's his name? Who was the coach before UConn?
Randy Etzel.
Randy Etzel left him with no scholarship quarterbacks. He had no scholarship quarterback when he came to UConn. After a year and a half, they fired him. It's like, man, this guy's the winningest coach in the Big East. You're not even going to give him a chance? And then they brought in that cheerleader from Notre Dame.
So, right.
Is he still coaching? Yeah.
Bob Diaco?
Yeah,
He's still coaching, but I'm not sure where he's either a position coach or a coordinator somewhere.
He was awful.
He'd gone to Nebraska, and Nebraska, it turned out they let go of him.
Yeah, his play calling was awful. His clock management was non-existent. It was bad. So anyway, Penn State looked good last week.
Considering you had 35 guys with the flu, 24 of which didn't play, 11 played, 2 of them tried to play and then exited in the first quarter, which would be Sean Clifford and Caden Wallace.
Right.
And they still won the darn thing. It was actually
the backup
kind of
quarterback played a good game.
Yeah, he did. No, Christian Veyu played very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great sign. What do you think of this week?
This week, you know me, everything's all about matchups. And the one thing, if I'm Michigan State, I'm very uncomfortable with is my secondary has not really played well all year. I mean, all year, not just last Saturday. And Penn State really does a great job at throwing the football. That would make me uneasy.
Michigan State, I said it last week, it's the same every year. They look like, wow, what a team. And then by the end of the year, they're losing games big. I always liked their other coach. You know, the older coach. I thought he was
Mark
a good
D'Antonio.
Guy.
D'Antonio. Yeah.
But for whatever reason, by the end of the year, they seem to run out of gas. They're not the great team that they were all year. You know, part of it's because they don't play the big teams till the end. But
Right, exactly. That is a big part of it. There's no question.
Yeah. So.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Picks in a moment on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All righty, here we go. We're going to start. Well, first of all, let me give last week. I went 3-5 last week. So did King. Steve went 4-4. So not a great week for either one of us last week. Steve now 61-39. I'm at 58-42. King is now 47-53.
Ah.
There you go.
Right where I want to be. Actually, in the money pool I play, I came in third out of 30 this week. I don't pick the same game.
Yes, we know. All right, I'm going to start things off. Battle Oklahoma.
Green Bay threw me. So.
Yeah.
If I got Green Bay, I would have won. So.
We're going to pick them in a little bit. But first, we're going to do OU at Oklahoma State this week in the Battle of Oklahoma. King, start with you.
Oklahoma State. I don't know why, except Oklahoma, whatever.
Steve?
Oklahoma State.
Bedlam, Oklahoma State.
I'm riding with the OK State Cowboys, too. I don't trust OU.
Neither. There's something about them. Every year, the same thing. And then they make the Final Four and get their butts kicked.
Next one. Boise State at San Diego State. Steve.
Really terrific game, but I'm going to go with San Diego State at home. Watched them a couple times on CBS Net. It looked pretty good.
King, who do you got?
I got Boise. They seem to be pulling off wins. I think they're one of those teams that's not in the top 25 that should be. Boise State.
Yeah, Boise State's had some impressive W's this year. I'm going Boise on the road, too. All right, next one. Iron Bowl. Alabama. Auburn. At Auburn. King.
You know, my heart wants to take Auburn, but you watch Alabama play, and, man, they got some athletes on that team that, you know, they can pretty much do what they want to do. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. The quarterback's very good. So my heart wants Auburn, but I think Alabama is just a better team. Better athletes.
Steve?
As Eli Gold, my good friend, would say, Alabama.
I'm going Roll Tide as well. I just don't think Auburn's going to have enough.
Yeah.
So they do benefit by playing at home.
Alabama's defense isn't a vintage Alabama defense. They're still very good, but their offense, man, they got so many weapons. My God. Like men against boys.
And then finally, the big one at the big house. Big noon kickoff on Fox. Ohio State against Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. Steve, does Jim Harbaugh finally get it done?
Ohio State by 3 touchdowns.
So that's a resounding no. King.
I'm going to
roll the dice and say maybe this is the year.
If Michigan wasn't at home, I don't think they have a chance, but it's a good Michigan team. probably the best one they've had to go against Ohio State in years. I'll take Michigan.
I agree, but I'm picking Ohio State because they're just playing really outstanding ball. They're on a different level right now. And I agree, though, and I think we just had Adam Ritterberg on a little while ago before he came on King. Ball control, I think, is their number one key to this game. If they can do that, they'll have a shot, but Ohio State's just too much right now.
They're really, this is his best, Harbaugh's best team in a, since he's been there, I think.
But you're saying something.
Three touchdowns.
Got to hold you to that.
Hey, either way, as a Notre Dame fan, I benefit. So,
yeah, last week when I said that Ohio State would slaughter Michigan State, I wasn't wrong.
No, you were definitely not wrong.
No, you weren't wrong at all.
All right, NFL time. Turkey Day games for tomorrow.
Oh,
this is the toilet bowl of them all. This is like if you have a bad piece of turkey or you eat too much, this will be this game to start off. Chicago at Detroit, Steve.
Oh, brutal. I mean, I guess you can end in a tie in the NFL. I'm going to go with Detroit.
Oh, Detroit gets their first one on Thanksgiving. I like it. King.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this is Detroit's Super Bowl. Detroit has played very well the last month. I mean, there's just a heartbeat from winning. You know, every game, they're in every game. Their defense is good. And I think this is the biggest game of these guys' lives. So I think Detroit on national TV will get the upset. Not an upset. They both suck, but... whatever. It would be great to see him get their first win. And I like Campbell. He's a good coach. So.
You know what? I was going to go with Chicago, but you guys have talked me into it. Matt Nagy, also a lot of rumors surrounding him right now and his future. And that was just a pathetic collapse against Baltimore with their backup at home. Detroit, baby. I'm rolling with you. I'll be nice.
There we go.
Let's go. I go Detroit,
too. The question
too.
Is, will anybody watch it? All right.
Yeah, I'll watch.
Good question. I will watch. Well, actually, I don't know if I'll be able. I might catch the end of it, depending on where we're going to be.
Who's blown Detroit out?
Eagles have.
They're in every game. Campbell's a good coach. He's kept these guys up and high. You know, they haven't won a game yet. They come out every week and they play hard.
Eagles did 44-6. Just saying.
Oh, okay. No, I'm wrong. But whatever.
All right, next one.
6 points.
Now, these next couple of games, I went back and forth on. You picked some good games this week, King. First one, we got Tampa coming off the Monday night win against the Giants at Indy, led by Jonathan Taylor with that monster 158-yard, 5-touchdown performance at Buffalo. King, you were the only one that picked Indy last week. Credit to you. You riding with them again?
Absolutely. I think they're playing the best ball in football. That they dominated that game. I watched it. And he's the real deal. He's the best back to come out of the Big Ten in a long time. You know, it was a good situation for him. He's very good. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. And they're very well coached. So.
Steve?
Really good game. And last week I picked Buffalo. I mean, dead wrong. He's right about Jonathan Taylor, really good. Tampa Bay's defense is no better than okay, but I got to ride Brady. I'm going to go with Tampa.
Agreed. I also picked Buffalo and was very wrong last week. But my thought and process in this game is Tampa's front four, I think, is a little bit more athletic and faster than Buffalo. And if they can get Carson Wentz into trouble and force turnovers, then they can win this game. I think that might play the difference. But I won't be surprised if Indy wins, but I'm going to roll with Tampa.
Good pick. You can never go wrong picking Brady.
Next one. Another one of King's favorites right now. New England rolling in first place, hosting the Tennessee Titans coming off that dreadful loss to the Texans. Steve.
That game was awful.
Yes, it was.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, obviously, they'll play better this time, but you know what? I got to give New England credit. I'm going to go with the Patriots.
I got New England, too, I think. And also, I found interesting, I don't know what this running game is going to look like for the Titans now, because they just got rid of Adrian Peterson. And clearly, they're missing the running game, especially what you saw in that slop fest on Sunday. So I'm riding New England, too. I think Tennessee might be in a little bit of trouble here.
I think New England right now, and everything changes in the NFL, is the most balanced team in football. They can throw the ball, they can run the ball, and they got a very good defense. Special teams is good. Right now they're playing, I mean, I don't know if they want a peak right now, but they've got a tough go the next month. They've got Buffalo twice, Tennessee, I forget the other fourth. No, then they got a bye, so... No, they've got, there's a fourth team that's very, oh, Indy. So, the Patriots, if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to earn it. So,
all right.
New England.
Then finally, Rams at the Packers. King.
Green Bay. The Rams are up and down. Green Bay plays a steady, solid game. They're not going to win every week, but the Rams, sometimes they just don't show up. So, I think Green Bay at home.
That was a bad loss for Green Bay last week.
Yeah.
I still think they're a good team, not a great team. But LA's overrated. Green Bay at home.
Let's give the Rams credit. They've got a lot of big names, of which most of them are average. Green Bay.
Exactly.
That's funny. That's good.
It is really a true big market team, honestly. They have all the names and all the hype, but nothing really showing on the field right now.
And you got to be careful with these rah-rah coaches. I mean, it doesn't always, you know, the players kind of get turned off by it sometimes.
I think that brilliant article that was written about the 49ers-Rams game, how Kyle Shanahan and McVay are geniuses at pre-snap motion.
Yes, Todd.
Here's one for you. Let's be a genius at execution. Let's try that. Let's try it, see how it works.
Or how about both?
Right.
There's a reason. I don't know. What a weird year. There's really no clear-cut, great, best team. There's none. Not yet, anyway.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely right.
No, the road to the Super Bowl could go through, you know, about eight different teams right now. So...
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, boys.
Stay safe, guys. Have a good holiday.